Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. How's it going?
Things are pretty good. Had some technical difficulties off the top, but I think we've got everything under control now. How's your week been, dude?
It's been pretty exciting. It's been a pretty exciting week. Pretty exciting.
Really? So what exactly happened that made your week so exciting, Ryan?
Well, I've obviously known about it for a while, but a lot of people didn't know anything until we announced it Monday, but Ashley and
I knew.
You knew, yes. You knew. It's true. She's known for a week, and now everybody here is going to know.
Way ahead of the curve.
Exactly. But Ashley and I are expecting our first child. First, Yay! We've had that conversation in January 2016.
So exciting.
Yeah, and Zelda has already been vetoed, which is unfortunate. We do a...
I think you could sneak Jaina in there. I think you could get away with that.
I think so. But the problem... So here's the thing. Is like we've resurrected our sort of Ryan and Ashley podcast called So I Married a Podcaster, ryanandashley.ca/episodes. And that's sort of where, like, the meat of the baby conversation... Obviously, it's going to come up here every once in a while, but it's not going to be, like, the focus because it's like...
No, I don't want to hear any baby shit. This is your one chance, dude, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. This is a whiles off as well. Like, I don't think it'll be affecting Gamers Inn for at least until the baby comes. But, yeah, if you want to follow their progress, that's where that's going to be. And I've kind of thought, it's like, maybe it'd be funny just to name a bunch of video game characters that I know she would not even go for. And Zelda was the first one I tried for. I think it would be cool to have a daughter named Zelda, but I figured, like, that
might...
You
could always say, oh, no, it's totally not the video game. It's, like, the Zelda Fitzgerald actress, famous lady, whatever sure. She did. I don't even know.
I don't know what she did. All I know is that she needs to be rescued. I don't know.
Recognized,
sure. I don't know. We'll see. And I know a lot of people have thought to have thrown some names. We're picking names, obviously, before the child is born, but we're not actually announcing names. We're keeping those to ourselves. A good friend of ours who had just had their first child earlier this year said that was kind of the best thing they ever did, where they just kept the names to themselves. And then when you announce the baby's name, when the baby's born, no one can say, oh, I knew a blank in high school, and he was a real dick. Because the baby's there, and babies aren't dicks. Babies are really cool.
And you can't ever say a baby's a dick. Fair enough.
You can't. Well, what about that dancing baby? He was kind of a dick.
The dancing baby?
You know, from like, what's that show with the weird lawyer chick? You know that
There's
one?
So many.
No, there isn't. The old one, Ally McBeal.
Oh, I was going to say, isn't Murphy Brown, wasn't that lawyers? I don't know.
I don't think she had an obsession with a dancing baby. Yeah. Anyways, we're way off topic, but that was the announcement this week. Yay. So now it'll go back to normal and that occasionally, I don't know. I really don't foresee it really coming up very much on Gamers Inn or any other podcast besides, yay, it's happening.
Damn
and then
straight.
6 months from now, yay, where the hell's Ryan and why does he look so tired? That's probably what will happen.
I'm fully expecting Gamers Inn to go to like a once every month or two podcast.
We'll see.
Ryan's just like, I haven't played anything. I've played baby.
Well, it's kind of funny because we have this conversation. I'm sort of the Swiss Army knife of video games where I'll like try something new every week because I have a... And that's not a good thing. I have like attention deficit disorder when it comes to video games. Like, I have to jump. I have to jump all around. And when it comes to the point where we have the child, it'll be like, what'd you play? Baby, what'd you play? Hearthstone
and Warcraft.
And Warcraft. It's like, well, maybe we skip a week and Ryan gets some sleep. But I'm not making any like sort of plans right now as to podcast scheduling. We'll just see how it goes.
We'll play it by ear. It'll
exactly.
be fine.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
I mean, you got a dog and nothing changed. I got a cat and nothing changed. Babies are like the same, right?
Yeah, you could just pick it up like this, you know, and then you like you just give it a toy like that. See?
Yeah, see, we've totally got this thing figured out. It'll be fine.
Yeah, see?
Easy.
Super easy. I should have had kids ages ago. All right, you go burp yourself.
So considering that you are very rapidly running out of free time, there's like, it's like a ticking time bomb now.
What are you... No one ever phrased it that way.
Now that you really have to think about what you're playing, what have you played in the last week, Ryan?
I found all those freaking Riddler challenges.
You did finish it, did you?
Those were the 40 most excruciating challenges I've ever had. No spoilers until Jocelyn's beaten Arkham Knight. That is the promise I've made, and I'm continuing to make that promise. However, all you find, folks, when you have the chance to beat Arkham Knight, just beat it. And when you get there, you'll understand what I'm saying. Don't bother going through all the trophies or the challenges. Just beat it, be done with it, get the achievement, and then YouTube the presentation you get for getting the Riddler challenges. And that's the only advice I will give you.
It definitely was not worth it.
It's never gonna feel like it's worth it, because you're sitting there trying to find 240 challenges, running around like, oh, there's a green guy, beat him up, get his information.
Yeah, but don't you get like one of those, whatever they are, like achievements, trophies, whatever PlayStation calls them? So can't you like show off to everyone to be like, I found all the Riddler trophies because I'm that badass?
I got a Steam achievement for beating the Riddler.
Oh, right, you're playing on PC, I forgot.
Well, then I guess, yeah, okay, you're right. I did get an achievement for beating the Riddler, which required to collect all the trophies, of course.
You go, and I am 100% sure that you can highlight achievements on Steam on your profile, so...
You can, so you're saying I should do that. All right.
That is your reward, is your ability to shove it in everyone else's faces and be like, hey guys, I'm the best.
Yeah, and Kearney in the chat room is making mention excruciating walkthroughs, and I stand by my word from last week that if you want to find all those Riddler challenges without a walkthrough, be my guest. I was pulling my hair out with the walkthrough. Like, there are just so many of them. And I did do what you said.
So then it should be an asterisk next to your achievement. It should say, like, sure. Not... Ryan got the Riddler achievement. It should say, like,
I still had
Joe
to go
Blow
through them.
1627 from YouTube got the achievement.
Well, here's the thing is, like, the difference between me getting them and using a guide, and I only use the guide for the building Riddler challenges, although I suppose by beating up dudes outside those buildings, you would eventually unlock the locations of those trophies. But, It cut down on time. I already was spending an extra 20 hours finding these challenges. And like you said last week, the way to actually unlock those on the map, aka point you in the right direction, aka tell you exactly where the Riddler trophies are. That's exactly what a walkthrough is doing. I'm just cutting out the middleman. I am saving people's lives by allowing those Riddler minions to not have broken femurs.
Whatever you have to tell yourself.
That's what I did. Well, hey, the challenge stands. If you can find all those Riddler challenges without using a guide.
Oh, I'm going to.
Saying that. Did you play Batman this week?
I did play Batman this week. So,
Well, how much of Batman did you play? How many Riddler challenges did you get this week?
I played about 20 minutes before I got pulled into Rocket League with Kearney.
How's Rocket League?
Man, it's so fun.
It's like soccer arena
soccer
combat.
It's soccer with cars, which is kind of ridiculous because it's basically taking the two kinds of video games that are my least favorite, like sports games and car games, smooshing them into one. And yet somehow I was saying to Matt, I don't think I've actually tried as hard in a video game as I did in Rocket League. Like, I was really, really trying. It was difficult.
Were you competing? Because that usually...
Yeah, we were playing against other people. We were doing 3v3.
Oh, so you were on the same team then?
Yes, we were on the same team, yeah.
Because, I mean, if you were facing each other, like, I don't think I know two more competitive people. That would be an interesting clash.
So, technically, we were on the same team.
Oh, God. There you made it a competition. And you were on the same team, is what you're saying.
There were a couple of times where it was difficult to tell that I was actually on Matt's team because I'm a terrible, terrible teammate. And I'm also bad at driving cars in video games. So I, at one point, I actually got myself in the opponent's net by accident, and I couldn't get out, and then I was, like, stuck on the roof of the net, and when I finally figured out how to get out, Pete had made this super amazing, awesome, like, corner shot with the ball, and I came out of the net right as it was going in, and I saved the ball for the other team. It was, like, top corner, too. There's no reason I should have been up there.
Weird. This game looks interesting. And it's free on PlayStation Plus, right?
Yes. That's why we were playing this week.
Yeah. No, it's really cool. And I've seen the videos and stuff. And so you were just playing the skirmish mode with each other. Is there like a story mode or like a campaign mode to it? Did you see that in the menu?
I'm not 100% sure. We just jumped straight in, and there's like, we tried to play us against bots to start, but they're having issues with the servers. So I think only the multiplayer servers are working. So we did like 3v3 with just random other people popping in. Oh, apparently Matt's saying there's a league mode versus bots. But yeah, I don't really think that there's much story to it. I don't really know what the story would be.
Well, the story like is basically Twisted Metal, but a little more family oriented.
Family friendly.
Yeah, it's like Twisted Metal meets Cars from Pixar. No, I'm just joking. Yeah, there's probably no story, but I meant more like a league mode where you just traverse through the rankings and stuff, more so for practice than anything. But it sounds like a really fun multiplayer game, though. I have to download it. I have yet to download. I'm usually all over this, and we're halfway through July.
You really should, because it was a lot of fun. Like, we played for probably like an hour and a half, and I could have kept going. Like, if we didn't have Gamers In, I would have kept going. It was so much fun.
Oh, this was right before the show.
Yeah, and you're fresh. I was so bad, dude. Like, so bad.
You still did good. You saved a goal. It did happen to be a goal for that would.
It would have been for my team. Yeah.
But hey, you know.
I was getting better though. I feel like I made progress. Mm-hmm. And I've decided that I'm never ever streaming it because I have it obviously on PlayStation. Although it is cross-platform, you can play with people. And actually, if I'm on my PlayStation and somebody else is on PC, we can play together, which is really cool. Because, I mean, we've talked about that a bazillion times, about, like, why can't we just all play together? That's stupid. In Rocket League, you can all play together. So, yay! But, yeah, it's really, really fun. I was slowly getting better. But since I have it on PlayStation, I don't have a camera on my PlayStation. And the sounds that I make while playing this game are what? Questionable at best.
Why?
Do you remember like when you would play video games with like your mom, like Mario Kart, and she'd have the controller and be like steering the controller? Mm-hmm. Well, I do that. I'm like, and so I'm trying to steer and trying to like zoom and get the ball and stuff. And I'm like, and without a camera.
Sounds like you're pooping.
Very questionable sounds. Very questionable right. sounds. I'm just like... Matt was just like losing his shit.
Well, it's like, it's interesting.
I shouldn't stream this. I just should not stream this.
But the funny thing is that you're setting it up. It's a free game on PlayStation Plus, cross-platform on PC. Tondagos has already picked it up because of what we've said. And Gamers In Game Night is tomorrow. And patrons
totally
get
to
suggest
this.
Well, we can certainly strongly suggest it and use your grunting as a mode of...
An incentive.
Incentive, but yeah, we could always put like a disclaimer, like, she's just trying really hard, guys.
Jocelyn is going total try hard in this arena car soccer game thing.
We could all promise to grunt, like if we just all like make a pact right now that we're going to just try super hard and grunt really loudly... That might be worse.
Yeah, probably would be.
Probably would be worse. But, hey.
Yeah, try. I mean, I'm all for couch streaming. Yeah. I love it. So, yeah, we should do that tomorrow night. It'd be a lot of fun. And, I mean, you can do, like, you'd have a party of, what, 8 people on PlayStation? And I think that there's a 4v4 mode.
Okay.
So, oh, yeah. I mean, we could literally get a ton of people in there playing with us. And, yeah, it'd be a lot of fun. I had so much fun.
Yeah, Val has PlayStation Plus. Josh. Come on. Oh. There's lots of peeps that nice. Have it. So we should do that.
All right. So it's on tomorrow night, guys.
I will be making the post right after this, and y'all can run in there and say, let's play Grunt League, and we'll go from there.
Perfect. I've also played Hearthstone. There's a new brawl this week, so I gave it a shot. I thought I would like it, but I don't. It's just straight up random decks, which we've been playing with the TAC community for probably since forever, actually. Right. It was just kind of one of those things that we started doing way back in the day just to have something fun to stream when we didn't want to stream ladder or when the hosts wanted to play with each other or whatever. We would just go in, make random decks, and it was literally like you would pick a class and then you would just say, let Blizzard auto-complete the deck, and we'd play against each other. And we had a lot of fun. Today, I just found it frustrating. I was like, had no idea what cards were in my deck, and I lost badly. I had a freaking Clockwork Giant, like worst card ever. And that's just, I didn't have fun. And I was like, I've been doing this for almost 2 years, this whole random deck idea. This should be fun. And I think I figured it out. It's because I'm not playing against my friends. I was playing I guess not on ladder because there's no actual ladder for brawls, but I was playing versus another person trying to win, you know? And just that adding that competitive atmosphere without actually having any control whatsoever and no idea of what was in my deck or anything like that, it was not fun. Mm-hmm. I was raging by the end of it.
Yeah, so this is that's not the gimmick though, right? It is a random deck, but what's the bananas? What's that?
Oh no, that's the gimmick this week. It's just
a random deck.
It's just totally random. Yeah.
Huh. Of all the cards?
Well, yeah, all the cards that would be available to you as a member of that class. So you've got all your class cards with whatever you pick, and then all the neutral cards, and then it's just random.
Well, that doesn't sound as exciting as all the other weeks. The other weeks were bananas and tornadoes things.
And because it came right on the heels of probably the best brawl that they've done so far, which was the Summoner Brawl, it seems so lackluster, and maybe it's because I've been doing it for so long that it's not new to me. I don't know, but I just I jumped in and I was like, all right, random deck, sweet. This is going to be so much fun. And then I played and I was like, I don't like this. Dislike, frowny face.
Well, maybe next week will be better, right? With all that, announcement bull poopy that's happening.
Yeah, we do. We're getting an announcement actually a week from today. So, I'll have some really cool stuff to talk about on Gamers Inn, which is exciting. And Stolen Prayers in the chat room is saying you can have more than one of the same legendary too, which I didn't know. And that was the other thing. It seemed like my opponent, and it's probably exactly the same. Now that I'm thinking about it and talking about it out loud, it's probably the exact same reason that I'm not a huge fan of Arena.
Yeah.
It's because it just doesn't feel like a level playing field. Because in Arena, it's the same thing. I could go through Arena, never get a card better than a rare, and just have total and utter shit when I'm doing my draft. And I can go up against a mage player with 6 flame strikes or something stupid like that. And it's just because there's absolutely no consistency one game to another. You're not even picking in Magic, from what I understand from what the guys have said. When you're doing a limited format, I think is what it's called. You pass around the same pool of cards. So everyone's picking, so all the best cards go first, but they're all from the same pool. In Hearthstone, it's just it feels it's all just totally random. I mean, the picks that I make have no impact whatsoever on my opponent. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of Arena. I went through a phase where I really liked Arena, but that only lasted for probably about 6 weeks, and then I went back to Constructed. So I'm just not kind of a random Arena player, and that's what this feels like, is that there's nothing to level the playing field. And last week, where you could build a deck, put whatever minions and spells in it that you wanted, you got a benefit for using spells, and you could control your mana curve, because that was the other thing. I felt like I had no low mana minions, and the ones that I did have, I had the freaking 2-mana Murloc that's a 2/1 that summons a 1/1. I was just this is no good, people. So yeah. I found it more frustrating than fun. So I'll probably only play it enough to well, probably play some viewer games because everyone seems to really like Brawl. But yeah, it's not going to be high on my list for things to do this week. Not like last week. Like I played probably 80% of my Hearthstone time in the last week was playing that Brawl. So
yeah, but I think that like they're going to mix it up each week, and some people might be really interested in just randomized deck without the gimmick. Just random is the gimmick, and it's not like you would hope though that they don't just fall back on that and being like every month there will be one random week, and it's like because I kind of assume that they would switch it up each week. And I know like that there may seem like an infinite amount of possibilities, but to go what feels like only the fourth week to go with just straight up random feels kind of like
this is a cop week out. Five, I think. We had the Rag versus Nefarian battle. Mm-hmm. We had bananas, spiders, mm-hmm. summoners, and now randoms.
But see, that's the thing is like five even seems too quick to just have they. It's not like I know they haven't run out of ideas.
And the thing is, like, I don't necessarily think that they've run out of ideas. I actually would like to think because we know that Ben and Yangwu and a few other people who work for Hearthstone actually listen to the show. And I mean, we've been talking about doing random deck tournaments and random deck streams and all that kind of stuff literally since the podcast started.
Right.
So, I mean, like, I'm not saying we have a ton of clout, but at the same time, like, I know high up people at Blizzard listen to that show. So I'm kind of wondering if us talking about it so much and having so much fun kind of made them go like, oh, we should totally just throw random decks in there and see what happens. And I was really, really, really surprised at how little I liked it.
So what you're saying is it's a good thing they don't listen to Gamers In because they gave you what you wanted and you spit it right back up. It's like, no,
this pretty is, much.
I do pretty not much. Want this. I want web spinners.
Like, and even then, the web spinners was fun, but it was, again, not as fun as I thought it was going to be because web spinners, there's only so many options for beasts. The summoner one was by far the best so far.
I like the themed one. Now, that's the only one I've played, mind you, but I like the themed one where it was like Nefarian versus Ragnaros. I
thought so that you was played really the cool. very first week, yeah. And yeah. I loved the first week, too. I really, really did. And I liked playing as Rag, and not a lot of people did. They said it was really unbalanced. But that's the other great thing. There's
I lost no matter what. So
yeah. there isn't a huge reward for playing Brawl, so it kind of doesn't matter if it's unbalanced. It's also only around for, like, 5 days. So yeah. If it's really totally unbalanced, like, who actually gives a shit?
Doesn't need to be balanced. It's random. No. Random is imbalanced. That's the definition of random.
Yeah. new Brawl, it's all right.
Cool.
I'm gonna give it another chance. I might have just had a really bad pick, and I picked Mage, which I think was probably not a great idea. I think Warlock might be a little bit better because you know that you have built-in card draw with Warlock. Yeah, so I think I might have just picked a bad class, but we'll see. I'll play around with it a little bit more, play with some viewers. I think having somebody actually on Skype and, you know, talking through the craziness and, like, that might be key. Mm-hmm. I think maybe I'm too competitive to play against other people who aren't friends, I think. Because I just take it too seriously, and it's not a mode that's meant to be taken seriously. So,
but you take it seriously when you're playing against friends, but you don't take it seriously.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't take it seriously when I play against friends, and I take it too seriously when I play against randoms because it's like there's a pack on the line. Like, I need to win.
Oh, okay.
I'm too damn competitive, dude. Too damn competitive.
You'll get there.
Eventually. Speaking of being way competitive, I, over the weekend, went back into Ashran again.
What? What are you doing? I thought we had this conversation. We both unsubbed.
I'm trying. Well, I didn't. And I never will actually unsub from WoW. I know.
Wait, what?
I'll never actually cancel my subscription because I inevitably go back in for even if it's just to run an old dungeon or something. I'm always in there.
Weird. Like, not even like take a couple weeks off and you can, you know, you can always resub. I did take
a couple weeks off, but.
But you're paying to take those weeks off. That's like, yeah. You're paying. Okay. No. To be honest, if you're really enjoying the game and you don't find that there's that like that timing where your subscription ends and you're like, huh, I don't need to resub for a couple weeks, and you have that 2 weeks off.
See, I think this is the thing. My subscription's just automatic. Like, it's just automatically comes out of my PayPal every month. I don't even notice it. Oh. And I think that that's part of the problem, is that, like, every time I think, maybe I'll just stop, I go and look at my account and it's like, you have 27 days remaining. And I'm like, well, might as well keep playing then.
You can easily just cancel it, but it doesn't sound like that's the issue. It sounds like you just want to keep playing, so there's no reason to cancel. And I mean, if you find for a whole month that you're still playing, like, at least once, like, I don't think.
Oh yeah, I definitely play at least once. And Jim in the chat room saying, why would she cancel? Paying subscription money for an MMO she isn't playing is totally normal.
Yeah, you unsubbed from Elder Scrolls, right? Like, you did that finally.
I unsubbed from both WildStar and Elder Scrolls, but it took me about 6 months for each of them of not playing before I finally, like, did it.
You're like a new MMO's dream subscriber. Remember to play, like, just crazy hard for a month and then continue paying for 6 months.
Even though I don't touch it, I know. But anyways, I did go back into Ashran, and I've discovered a new problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I guess, kind of a good problem, but bad at the same time. Basically, what happened was I finally queued into Ashran, and I got a good horde group, which is, like, absolutely unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
So I played for probably an hour and a half with this group. They were fantastic. There was no douchebags, which is, you know, crazy for PvP. Yeah. They knew what they were doing. They had a strategy, and their strategy fit with the way that I wanted to play. It was a really, really, really great instance of Ashran, and we had a great raid leader. So I was on my Nemesis quest, but I just picked up the first part. And so basically what happens in the Nemesis quest is you have to go, you pick a nemesis, so I pick dwarves. Then you have to go into Ashran, kill a dwarf, and bring back his heart to prove to the war leader that you can kill that race.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gives you the quest to kill 500. So you have to go all the way back to your garrison to turn in your nemesis quest, and then you have to come all the way back to Ashran again to start your counter.
Right.
So by going back to my garrison, even by using both my hearthstones, you only have 25 seconds before you lose your, like, spot in your raid, like, after you leave Ashran. So I hearthed back to my garrison, turned in my quest as fast as possible, hearthed back to Ashran, and ran back in, and still didn't get back in the same raid group. Like, I was just short by probably about 10 seconds. And then, so then I got into 4 or 5 really terrible Ashran groups, and then I quit. And I was just like, man, oh man, it's so frustrating. Like, I finally had an experience in Ashran that I was enjoying. There was a really competitive raid on our side. There was a really competitive raid on the Alliance side. So, I mean, like, neither side was dominating, which is really, really nice. Like, we had good team fights and, you know, everyone was trying really hard. I got a lot of honor. I upgraded a bunch of my gear. And then I get into 5 groups in a row that are just total shit. And I'm like, damn it, like, why can't I just go, like, why can't I hold my spot in my raid? And I understand that, like, if I left Ashran and didn't come back for an hour, I'm holding a spot in a raid, and then that's a problem. But either give me a place to turn in my Nemesis quest in Ashran, or make it so it's, like, 2 minutes before you lose your spot in the raid or something. So I was really off-put by that, because I just want a good group. And if you're not going to let me use Group Finder, at least when I find a good group on my own and luck into that queue, don't kick me out after 20 seconds. Like, it just, oh man, there's so many, like, quality of life things that they could do in Ashran that would make it decent. And they're just, every time I turn around, there's something else that I'm like, damn it.
Yeah, it sounds like Ashran is broken. So have they addressed it? Like, have they come out saying anything about the recent complaints?
Nope, not really.
This is so unlike Blizzard. Like, what is happening?
They changed the human racial.
Sure.
With a hotfix, which was a really, really big issue. So basically, the human racial allowed them to use their crowd control escape, like, once every 2 minutes instead of once every 3 minutes or something like that. Basically, they could get out of crowd control so much more often than anyone else. So every single PvPer on the Alliance side was playing human, which was just stupid and frustrating.
Because you need to kill dwarves.
Exactly. Yeah. And no one was playing dwarves.
Exactly. Their racial sucks. Is there racial, like, find treasure or something? I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a little racist. In the game. Meh. All dwarves, like, it's... Yeah. Anyways, it was a bad joke. Keep going.
Anyway, so they hotfixed the human racial. They changed stuff around so that you had... now you have... Basically, you have to make a choice. You can still do it the old way, or, like, they've... I don't know if they actually changed the racial. I think they might have changed how trinkets work or something, or the balance of stats. So, like, if you wanted to have two of the same trinkets so that they would proc more often, then you could do that, but the stats would be slightly worse. So then you had to make a choice between the crowd control or the better stats. So I think they did it well, but that's the only thing that they've addressed. And people have been complaining since Warlords came out back in November about the human racial, and actually might have been an issue in PvP before that. I just wasn't into PvP before Draenor. So, they really seem to be ignoring Ashran, which is really upsetting. Like, I haven't seen anyone say anything about the issues in Ashran. We'll see. It's just so frustrating because it was literally the only thing that I did in WoW for a really long time, and I loved it. So
what was your favorite mode?
It was my favorite. Yeah, it really, really was. And I found that when I was able to pick my groups, I was able to find competitive people, and that's what I need. I need competitive people that aren't jerks. Mm-hmm. They're hard to find, so that's why Group Finder was so great, because then if I had a good group but it was full of jerks, I could just leave, and yeah. Still topping the DPS charts, though. Boom.
Take that, jerks.
Take that, jerks. Which is why no one ever actually yells at me, which is great, because I just wreck face, so it's fine. But it makes me feel bad for some of the other people. But anyways, doesn't matter. Ashran, still broken. But I did actually get 2 hours. I managed to stay in for 2 hours, which is something I haven't done since 6.2. So
tune in next week for the Ashran update. This just in. It's still broken.
It still sucks.
Tune in next week when we probably say the same thing.
Yeah. So have you been playing anything else this week?
Or
was it just Riddler trophies?
I did something. I have another
announcement. You did something that I am so jealous of, because I really want to do the thing that you did because of the thing that you tried in beta.
Oh, yeah.
I want it so bad.
So, okay. Friday morning, I'm looking at some flyers, and I see another advertisement for the Xbox One. And I tweeted it out. I took a picture, and I'm like, please, someone stop me. This looks like a good deal. And
so what was the deal? Did you get, like, some super sweet
game? So the deal was basically, like, the thing holding me back from an Xbox One was the fact that the only reason I wanted it was for Halo 5 and Rise of the Tomb Raider, a.k.a. months from now. So when I talk to, and when I make big purchases, and when Ashley makes big purchases, it's a joint conversation. And
see, there's your mistake.
it's not a mistake. It was a clear set of rules put together when we started getting serious, like, years ago. And I love that is the case, because I know I did not need an Xbox One yet. I prepared my arguments. And the main argument was that the fact that it was $349. Came with Master Chief Collection, 500 gigabytes. I don't need a terabyte, although we'll get to that. And it came with one free game, which was either Unity or Far Cry 4, both of which I own. So it wasn't really, that wasn't a deciding factor, but it still would be nice to play Unity on the TV maybe instead of having to play it on the PC. So I talked to Ashley the next day, and I'm like, shit, this is going to be a conversation every time this sale pops up, but I'm thinking of buying an Xbox One this weekend. She's like, well, why? It's like, well, the main argument was the fact that I know I'm going to want one in October, and it's going to cost me an extra $150 to get it in October, because they'll only have the 1 terabyte edition, which is $450, and then Halo 5 is like $80. So by buying it now, when the 500 gigabyte versions are still available and on sale, I'm saving us money. And that was my argument.
And she went for that?
It makes sense, right? When you think about it, you buy an Xbox One today, save $100 in October.
I guess so.
And that's kind of what, and I was like, and she's like, yeah, that makes sense. And I'm like, what? So for like the next couple hours as we're sitting
I
in this.
I feel like when that baby comes, you are just going to pay so hard. She's going to be like, you remember the Xbox?
Oh, damn it. No.
Change the baby.
it's probably going to be. And Clown Baby's saying $80. Wow. Like, it's true. Like, Halo 5 is a next gen console exclusive. It's going to be $80 here in Canada. That is the
lies we live.
So I have an Xbox One. It took me forever to get it set up because I was so busy this weekend, and I've played maybe about 15 minutes of each title that I got for it. So I Xbox One has their like games with gold, so I got Massive Chalice for free, which I adore, so I played a couple rounds of that, and obviously Smite is in beta, open beta, so anybody can grab it. So I played
and
the tutorial.
And that's the reason that I really, really want an Xbox One, is I want to try Smite.
It's a different type of game, you know. It's kind of different on the Xbox in that you're targeting actively with your right thumbstick, okay. and moving, and it kind of feels a little slower, but also a little more precise than it does with the. Not precise is the wrong word, because that is not at all accurate. it feels a little slower, but also you can line your stuff up more because everybody's playing with that control scheme, and I really do feel like. You couldn't have a controller. You couldn't have controller as an input option on the PC because it would just be so different. And that's why I think you can't have cross-platform play either, because it is so different. And so when I was playing on the controller, I felt like, yeah, this actually works really well, and it's a really well done MOBA on a and it feels like, and I think it really has to do with the fact that it is a third person action game, and that's what mm-hmm. allows it to work so well on a controller. And for me, it'll work even better because I don't buy my own items, so I can just kind of like run out there and do stuff. I'm not worrying about managing stores, because I think that would be the biggest hurdle, is trying to buy that specific item that you want. Which I know you and Josh do, and Josh owns it on the Xbox One. Now, the other thing is transferring all your stuff. I did a bit of research. You can transfer all your items, or not transfer, but link accounts, but you can only merge accounts once. So if you're like me, who doesn't buy a whole lot, doing it right now to get all my gods on the Xbox One is actually a really cool way to do it. But for people who are buying stuff constantly in Smite, you only get to merge once. Mm-hmm. So for you, it'd be best to merge at the very end and just kind of fool around in Smite on the Xbox One and then move all your stuff over at the very end.
So what's going to happen on the Xbox One if, say, like, I'm playing on Xbox One, for whatever reason, I'm a lot better with Melee mm-hmm. on a controller, let's say. So I find a god who's Melee, let's say Hercules. I become super awesome with Hercules on the Xbox One, but I can't play him for shit on the PC. Sure. So I've got 1,000 worshippers on the Xbox One, and I've got 10 on the PC. And then I merge my accounts. Do I absolutely lose everything off my Xbox One? Like, do I go back to no masteries on Hercules because I couldn't play him well on PC?
That's a great question.
Because, like, if it overwrites your Xbox progress, that would really tick me off. Because I would, obviously, I'd be one of the people that holds off right to the very end before merging. Mm-hmm. Because I am constantly buying stuff.
Yeah, there are a lot of, there's a really good frequently asked question page out there that Hi-Rez put out. And the way it sounds like, even though it is a one-way transfer, I don't believe that it'll overwrite your progress if your Xbox One progress is higher than your PC mm-hmm. progress.
Well, that's good then.
Actually, it might. Actually, no. I just remembered. It doesn't transfer mastery. It transfers your worship points or whatever, but it doesn't actually transfer your mastery on gods. Just the gods you've unlocked and the skins you've unlocked. So if you've unlocked a diamond skin on PC, you will unlock that diamond skin on Xbox One.
Even though my mastery would be zero.
Exactly.
Interesting.
So I think that's the caveat that they do with that one, and it's a good one. And the fact that they're allowing you to do this, so basically because we own the God Pack, like, we don't ever have to spend money on the Xbox One if we just mm-hmm. want to play our gods, you know. Which I think the Xbox One will really just be. Feel like playing Smite on the couch.
Is Smite free on the Xbox One?
It is free, yeah, and it's an open. Oh, cool. It's an open beta right now, and
I knew it was in open. I just didn't know if you actually had to pay for it or not.
Well, you need Xbox Live Gold, which I recently had to resub to because having a console that is connected to the internet now. Other than that, I played a little bit of Master Chief Collection. I basically watched like the first cutscene for Halo 2, and it's like, yep, this looks fantastic. And other than that, I've just been downloading a lot of free stuff and a lot of other things on the Xbox One, and basically filled a quarter of my drive. So I'm sort of paying for that 500 gigabyte drive, but I don't foresee myself buying a lot of games on the Xbox One, at least right away. So I'm not too worried about it. But yeah, for those who want to play Xbox One with me, you can add me. I'm Murpan, and anybody's welcome. It actually,
you're
be nice
always
to.
Murpan.
I know, and it's funny. Like I just welcome trying to have more Xbox One buddies on there, because it really illustrates the people you have that are on your 360, because like the avatars are like a quarter of the screen, and it's like, it's, I don't know, PlayStation just has a more elegant way of showing you that this friend is playing on his PS3 and this friend is playing on his PS4, as opposed to
it
being
it?
Like, well,
I'm still struggling with that interface. Like when Matt and I were playing earlier and we were in a party, like just navigating between like the game and the party. And then like I couldn't figure out when we were done, like how to leave the party and like mute my mic. And like, so you're like, okay, bye. And I'm like, he can still hear me because I can't figure out how to hang up the freaking phone.
Well, I mean, speaking of UI, the Microsoft UI, I don't like it. And they are refreshing it, like, at the end of summer, so I will withhold any judgment, because anybody who's been playing with their Xbox One is, since launch, knows whether it's good or bad. But just like the PlayStation, it kind of, you do get used to it, but I just find that the Xbox One is, like, the settings is hidden under a context menu. Like, you have to push start on a specific pane to open up the settings menu. It's like they tried to hide it, as opposed to on the PlayStation, like you can easily find it by going into the crossbar and all the way to the right. It's a little more intuitive, but again, there's a lot going on.
I find it really busy on the PlayStation. Yeah. Like there's just, I want to easily get to Twitch and I can't, and I want to easily get to Netflix.
But see, that's the thing is like they show you everything on the PlayStation, but on the Xbox, they hide it. So it doesn't look as busy. It just has, here's your main pane. And that's the other thing you got to get used to, because games are always running and you see them always running. When you hit that home button, it just pauses it and it shows you the main screen on the home. So if I'm watching Netflix and I hit the guide button, it'll zoom out and show me my interface. And it's basically just a bunch of recently run apps, pins to the left, and a couple adverts. So it just looks less busy and tries to present you with what it thinks you want, aka games you've run recently, a couple of pinned apps, stuff like that. But I didn't get the Kinect version. I do not own a Kinect. I kind of don't foresee myself getting a Kinect, just because they're optional now. I don't see any game coming out actually requiring them.
It's so funny because, I mean, and I know that we talked about this basically when they said that Kinect was no longer required for the Xbox, because when they first launched the Xbox One, they were just like, oh my God, this operating system, it's three parts. It's, you know, your Xbox, your software, and your Kinect or whatever, and it's all integrated and you can't run one without the other. And then all of a sudden it was just kind of like, oh, nobody likes the Kinect, so it's just optional now. You don't really actually need it. Okay, bye. Yeah. You know, like it was just so funny the way that whole thing rolled out, that it was so integral to the system at the beginning, and then now it's just like you don't even need it. It's like, oh man, feels like it was such a money grab back at the beginning. So.
Well, I think it was Microsoft kind of being like, we need this gimmicky thing to make ourselves stand out amongst the Wii U, and well, that's about it. And maybe they thought Nintendo was going to do gangbusters again, and I don't hold that thought against them. No one thought the Wii was going to do gangbusters until it did. And I think that might have been, and I'm not saying it was the right way to think. Obviously, it wasn't, because it didn't really, it actually, I think, hurt them in the end. But they're starting to recover now. And I think the only reason to own a Kinect was to basically navigate that UI. And now that they're completely redoing their UI so it is accessible with a controller, there really is no reason to get a Kinect unless you have kids that want to play those Kinect games, but I don't think there's many of them. as many as there were on the 360. And speaking of the controller, I'm really digging the controller. Kearney was telling me that he replaced his PlayStation thumbsticks with Xbox One thumbsticks. And those thumbsticks are superior. So I am feeling that, and the triggers feel really good. They're not as squishy as the PS4. They're more like, they just feel floaty, which I kind of dig. But I am not a huge fan of the two top buttons up here being just buttons. I do appreciate the fact that on the PlayStation 4 controller, those feel more squishy. No controller's perfect. Unless you're Kearney and he has a Frankenstein controller for some reason. But I'm really digging it.
I think he actually wore out the PlayStation ones. Yeah. Like he wore the rubber off the top of them.
Did play Bloodborne like 16 times in a row. So I don't foresee myself having to burn through controllers like that. But I'm looking forward to just kind of casually playing the Xbox One. I'm going to try to get through all of Master Chief Collection before Halo 5, which I have months to do. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad I was able to go pick one up, because I think it was bound to happen eventually, as I've said right from the beginning. So Microsoft, you did it, I guess. Congratulations. Yeah,
you know, like I've been going back and forth, and especially, and we're going to get into it in a minute, all the Nintendo that's been in the news in the last week. With that, and I like you talking about Splatoon, and me really wanting to play Mario Kart, and just like everything that's been going on right now, like I'm getting so close to pulling the trigger on a Wii U. I think if I had more people locally that would play with me, I think I would have bought it by now already.
Well, you need to come to Ontario, and I will play locally with you all the time.
I'm trying. I'm working on it. Unfortunately, I can't just go, job.
You can't. I know that. I'm just saying, and I really don't. The Wii U is a great console, but anyways, we'll get into that.
Before we get into that, I just wanted to remind everyone that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code TheGamersIn to upgrade to an SSD when you purchase a new gaming rig. So head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. Which brings us to our very sad topic of the week this week. Ryan, you're the really big Nintendo guy, so do you want to just...
Yeah.
Take it away.
So Sunday evening, I got home from my weekend of craziness, and it was like 11 o'clock. I opened up Reddit because I'm addicted to amiibos. That's a whole other story. And I saw that this thread on basically every Nintendo subreddit that I subscribe to, that Nintendo's president, Satoru Iwata, had passed away at the age of 55. And I was... And this is going to make me sound like a bad person, but then you'll realize that, like, I was pretty broken up about it, like, very sentimental, and, like, I've never met this man. He's a president of a huge company, and but I, for some reason, like, gamers have felt this connection to him, and I think it has a lot to do with the Nintendo Directs and how he presents the titles for his company. I think Microsoft and PlayStation have been trying to emulate sort of Iwata's presence at Nintendo with Phil Peterson or whatever his name is.
The fact that you can't even remember his name means that they're not succeeding.
It's Spencer. Phil Spencer. It's not McPeterson. And Shuhei Yoshida at PlayStation. They're doing actually a really good job. I'd say they're getting pretty close. But he was suffering from a bile duct tumor, which is a rare cancer. And he had to skip the last two E3s, and I didn't even realize that the E3 from this year, he wasn't even in the direct. It was just his voiceover, and he was not doing really that well, but Nintendo was sort of like keeping that behind the scenes, and I guess he was really sick, and over the weekend he had passed away, and man, the internet just collectively mourned. I don't think I've seen the internet sort of do this. And I think it's just weird. Like, as gamers, we're a negative bunch. But when it came to Iwata, it was positivity all over, and just collective mourning. And like, whether you were a PlayStation, an Xbox, or a PC fan, you kind of felt something when it came to this loss. And this is the guy behind, like, he programmed Earthbound, not by himself, but he helped. He developed Kirby. He debugged, like, there's some great stories out there where when Melee was going to miss his launch, as president, he's like, oh, let me get in there and help you out. And he helped debug. He ran the debug team for a good couple months as president of Nintendo, which, I mean, is pretty unheard of. So, and again, like, this has been covered all over the place, but it's just you couldn't go this week without talking about this loss, right?
I think Papa Bouvet in the chat room really hit the nail on the head with what I was going to say, is that pretty much everyone who is currently, you know, in the Twitter world, on Facebook, you know, everyone kind of around our age, we started gaming on Nintendo systems. It doesn't matter where we are now, what our favorite systems are, what our favorite games are. Like, Nintendo is where we started. Like, we grew up with Zelda. We grew up with Mario. And so I really think that not so much his current, like, presentations in Nintendo Directs. I really think it's because we just have such a connection with what he created that seeing him pass away so young, it hit everybody, and it hit everybody hard, I think. I'm not necessarily one of those people that when celebrities pass away, it's like I get all upset or bent out of shape, but this one really, it did. It hit me. It was really, really sad. There was this one fan art that I retweeted, and it just said, you know, thank you, Iwata-san, I think, or Mr. Iwata, I can't remember. Anyways, and it was like him, like, laying on a thing of flowers, and like all the characters that, you know, like Mario and Link and Kirby are all like lining up, like crying, like holding out their things that would give them extra lives in games. So Mario had his mushroom, and then Link had his little heart, and Kirby had that little whatever turnip-y thingy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I just, like, it just, like, right in the feels. Right in the feels. And it's just, it's one of those things that hit everybody, all gamers, the
yeah.
same.
And the, I guess, like, the best quote that he had that really truly described him as a person, not just as a president, was it was a GDC talk in 2005, shortly after I think he became president, where he said, on my business card I am a corporate president, in my mind I am a game developer, but in my heart I'm a gamer. And I think that that description that he gave himself could not be applied to many people in his position. Like, usually when you're president, you're more business focused, right? Whereas he was a developer and started as a gamer. And I mean, like, just pales in comparison to some of the people that we come across when covering the game industry. Like, it's just crazy. And you kind of wonder, like, are we going to get another one of him anytime soon? And you kind of think, if any company, I mean, you hate to think about the future that way, but if any company is able to do it, I think it would be Nintendo, because they just have so many diehards at that company. But it's just when I read this news, it was like, oh wow. I mean, I knew he was sick, but they really weren't being forward about, I guess, which they didn't have to be, because it's his own personal life. And I think that's what he wanted. He wanted to just continue doing what he loved, and he didn't want people to worry. And I don't think people were worried. They were more just interested in the products that Nintendo had while seeing this guy sort of do voiceover for a Muppet, which, I mean, it's just weird and sad that he's gone. And you wonder, like, how this company will move forward. And I know there's been a lot of quotes out there from people close to him at the company and the higher ups saying that, you know, we are going to continue the mindset that Iwata has set up here, that he has continued from other past presidents. And I think he's similar to how when Steve Jobs passed away, there was this quote out there where, like, Steve Jobs had basically set up the company for many years to come, in that he's not just working day to day, he's working the future as well. And I think we're going to see that with Nintendo as well, with Iwata. But you know, it'll be a long time before we feel truly the loss of his impact. But it's crazy. I love that Reddit sort of came together as opposed to, like, tearing the internet apart. That was my favorite thing, I think. And there was so many great fan art and articles and stuff on this guy's life. And I saw the one that you mentioned. I retweeted a bunch as well. It's just, there's so many good ones. Like, people felt a real loss here, which is something to say.
Yeah. So we just wanted to mention that it happened and kind of give our thoughts and pay our respects, I guess, in our TGI way. So sad.
Yeah. I'm gonna miss seeing him in those directs. I think that's a real bummer.
Yeah. I don't even know what else to say past that, you know? It's so hard to just like wrap the conversation because it just feel like he gave so much. And I mean, I know I've been rough on Nintendo and some of their decisions that they've made, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on that wonderfully sad note,
yeah.
If you want to show off your TGI pride, head over to /loot.com. That's /loot.com and grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including all your favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, Torrin Think Tank, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So go to /loot.com and show off your podcast pride. We have a tweet that came to us from Barbecue Master. Ryan, do you want to?
Sure. So Barbecue Master had sent us a tweet during the week, and it was related to Sierra's reintroduction of King's Quest. I had never played King's Quest, and I wanted to ask you, Jocelyn, have you ever played King's Quest?
No.
Okay. Well, this is going to be easy. My first video game, fond memories of my mom, grandma, brothers playing together. What about you, Gamers In? Excited. So King's Quest is sort of a reimagining of this classic PC adventure, and the first episode actually launches at the end of July, and it actually looks really cool. Having never played a King's Quest game, I am kind of excited to be reintroduced to King's Quest. And it looks like Christopher Lloyd is a voice, so that's sold. Cool. Marty, you've got to save the king! Plutonium, I don't know.
Plutonium.
That's one of those phrases, right?
But it does. Yeah, no, I haven't. I'm just looking at it now, and no, I haven't played this before. But yeah, it could be cool. I really wish we just stop this whole episodic thing and just give us a game. But you know, whatever.
Yeah, I feel that.
Maybe
way.
This is going to be a time where I take a stand and I don't buy it until every single episode is available.
Yeah, don't pull Orion. I don't know. I'll wait for reviews, but I think anybody who played this game, like the first one came out, I think maybe 20, 25 years ago, and to see it come back and look kind of like this and have the feeling of the first one, that's gotta be really exciting for someone, especially like Barbecue Master has described, like this would be like me getting a Mario Kart for the first time in 30 years. Cause that's what I remember. True. That was my game that I played as a young kid with my brothers, and I think I even convinced my mom and dad to try it at least once until they basically rammed into one of those stupid blocks and was like, screw it, I quit.
Oh, I used to play with my mom all the time. She was great at Mario Kart.
my parents weren't big gamers. I think they tried it once. I think it might have been like the original Mario, but like I think that's the best way to describe it, like just a game coming back, and I can't really think of a franchise that's happened like that before for me. Mm-hmm. So this has got to be really exciting for Barbecue Master. And I'd love to know what he thinks about the game when it actually does come out. Maybe he'll play it before any of us, and he can send his thoughts in as a huge fan. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, that would be great. Mm-hmm. Have to make sure that we poke him once it's out.
Yeah, so I will make a note. Poke Barbecue Master.
Poke Barbecue Master.
For reasons. And then hopefully...
you don't need reasons.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So this week we would like to take a moment and thank Matt K, who is our patron of the week this week. If you would like to be a patron of The Gamers In, you can go to patreon.com/thegamersin. We do a hangout every month and game night every week, and that is thanks to our wonderful patrons. So we have game night tomorrow. When's our hangout this month?
It's tomorrow.
We decided? Is it tomorrow?
Every third Thursday of the month. Jeez,
we're in the third. Oh, my God.
It's kind of a...
It's because the first was a Wednesday. That's why it seems so early. But yeah, you're right. Our hangout's tomorrow. God.
Yep.
Wow.
Nerdacular is like 10 days away.
Yeah.
So it'll be... it'll be a lot of fun. So again, I'm going to be doing the post for, if you're a patron, be sure to check your emails. That post will be going up where you can ask questions. You can tell us what game we should play. You can just actively say funny things. I don't think we have any rules. I mean, you're the boss, right? So it's your Patreon. So you do what you want.
But yeah, so all right, I'm looking forward to it. Oh man, the Hangouts tomorrow. God, can't get over that. I'm looking forward to game night though, and I strongly vote for Rocket League. And I think earlier on, Pete actually said something in the chat room about if we're gonna play together, we all have to be on the same system. So we'll have to be on PlayStation because the cross-platform stuff isn't quite ready for parties and stuff.
Okay.
Like I think if we queued in, we could. There will be PC players potentially in our matches, but we have no way of saying like, "Hey, Ryan, you on PC are in my party on my PS4."
Well, hopefully they sort that. I guess that it would be tough to sort that out without, because matchmaking or sorry, lobbying. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure they'll sort it out eventually. But as of right now, yeah, we'll revisit.
So, so if we do play Rocket League, it'll be a PS4 only thing. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Next time.
Yeah. But yeah, you guys can go over to patreon.com/thegamersin and vote on what you want to play with us tomorrow night. And don't forget to come out at 7 p.m. And ask us questions. So we will be streaming all of that over on twitch.tv/GISGamer. I think that pretty much does it for tonight. The thing is, guys, I'm going to do a stream after this because we actually hit my Twitch goal yesterday.
Nice.
So thank you to everyone who donated. I have to now play Five Nights at Freddy's.
So is the next goal Five Nights at Freddy's 2, or are you setting something different? Who picks this?
I haven't decided on the next goal. I think I might just call it Joss's Scary Game goal, because there's Slender 2, there's the Five Nights at Freddy's, there's Amnesia. Like, I have a lot of games on my Steam account that I haven't actually played because they're too scary for me. Right. So this might be the push that I need to do stuff. But I might also do stuff like make goals of games with listeners or something like that. But cool. But anyways, right now we've hit that first goal, which I thought was way too absurdly high. Turns out it wasn't. So now
you need
I
to set it
to,
higher.
Yeah, now I get to freak out on stream and everyone gets to watch. I have no idea how long I'm going to play for. I'm going to play for as long as I can keep it together. Matt is being generous enough with his time to sit with me on Skype and keep me at least a little bit grounded. So I'll have someone to talk to while I'm freaking out. Yeah.
Well, that...
I feel like this is the worst idea I have ever, ever, ever had because I live by myself and I have a cat who likes to knock things over in the middle of the night. So I feel like I'm just not going to sleep for the next week.
Perfect. You could beat Batman in that,
I could.
In that insomnia
Maybe
time.
Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll just stay up and beat Batman and until, just days and days and days in a row without any sleep until I just finally pass out from exhaustion.
Well, I will have to watch as much as I can before we go to record Zamp. So if you're starting right away.
I'll definitely be starting within the next 15 minutes or so. I have to set up the stream and go get a drink because I feel like this is going to require a lot of wine to steady my nerves.
You're going to want to keep the wine. Just do this. And if you knock anything over, move those things. Trust me.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So yeah, that's happening.
You sound excited. I mean, why aren't you as excited as me?
I am so not excited. I am scared already. I haven't even watched a trailer for this game because just the still images have scared me so much. I don't even.
Well, you realize you can't set up a new donation goal until you've fulfilled your current donation goal. So if you want to collect more donations, you kind of have to play Five Nights at Freddy's.
Well,
it's
I'm
not
doing
that
it.
Bad.
It's happening. I can't commit to how long I will play. I'm going to play as long as I can keep my wits about me, but I feel like there might be a point where I'm actually crying on stream, guys. You need to be ready for that because I might actually cry.
I think you're actually setting yourself up for failure. I mean, it's not like Outlast. I feel like Outlast and Slender are scarier games, and okay. Five Nights at Freddy's, at least the first one to me, felt more. And I'm sorry, folks, and who are looking forward to watch Jocelyn cry on the stream. I'm just taking it down a notch because you and I both know we want her to play a little bit longer than 10 minutes, you know, and like something moves in the corner of her room and she's just like, I'm out. So really it's more about a time management game. Think of it that way, where you're managing okay. your stuff, but there are killer robots trying to kill you.
Okay. Yeah. All right. They're look scary. Like teddy bears.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to watch it too. I'll be there in spirit. I'll okay. scream in spirit. I'll let you know in chat when I've screamed.
Okay.
Good.
So yeah, twitch.tv/GISGamer starting sometime in the next 15 to 30 minutes and streaming for as long as my heart can physically take it.
And the archive on youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. I'm making that promise now because if yes, you do miss
the
it,
archive
you
don't will go up. It. Don't worry. I apologize in advance if the gain on the mic is too crazy or I scream and your father can hear over the phone. That happened when we played Depth.
What?
Yeah, there was someone who was like, who had almost muted the stream and then was on the phone with their dad or something. And then I screamed because Pete came out of nowhere and just absolutely scared the crap out of me. And came back into chat and was like, well, I was on the phone with my dad and he couldn't hear anything until you shrieked. And then he was like, what's going on? I was like, sorry.
He does that. You ask him about the time. I'm not going to tell the story now because we're going late, but you ask him about the time I was playing Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts and he scared the bolts out of me. So that's a good one. I wasn't even playing a scary game. I was just so focused.
I see.
He made me
All
die.
Right. So we will wrap for now. Everyone head on over to twitch.tv/GISGamer and I will be with you shortly. Until then, if you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Into the Nexus, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at RMurphy. And don't forget to follow the show over at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can also find us on Facebook and Google Plus. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you're playing, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn. Remember, tune in next week. Bye everybody.
Bye. This is what happens when you have a show on you move a show from a Friday to a Wednesday. Like, usually things don't go wrong on a Friday because everything has gone wrong. So you're experiencing middle of the week problems right here, live on the air. Alpha Geek. What is she playing with like a top or something?
I don't know.
She playing dreidel over there? Like, what's going on?